Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Baritex Community Bank Studios, located at Saltgrass Steakhouse and Gulfgate Center. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Age filling in at Gallaudet. Ryan's out here on-site engineering. Age, great to have you. Doing a great job. Age, what time does our show start?
At 3.
All right, so it starts at 3. So the big voice guy, whenever he says it starts now at 5:05.
Wrong.
Put him on Bad Tech Boulevard. He should be banned. He should be banned for the rest
good
of the show.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, that might be above my pay grade.
Yep.
We are broadcasting live, Saltgrass Gulf Gate Center. Just finished up the steak, delicious steak. The flavor's so good. It's got that char on it, which you just love on a steak. So, so good. We did have salads, that jerk texter a little bit earlier, calling us fat. Passively, aggressively calling us fat.
Yeah, just
do
it.
I don't think it was passive at all. I think it was pretty aggressive.
I bet you guys didn't get any salad. I think it's a passive aggressive way of calling somebody fat.
I don't know. I thought it was pretty straightforward. I don't think he was trying to hide behind anything.
I think it's passively aggressive.
Okay. I thought it was aggressive, but
it's like a subtle jab.
Yeah, I get. Well, was it subtle though?
Not for us. You took a while. Junkie, you guys aren't giving Shepherd enough credit. He's got a great coach and enough veteran leadership to make him a true point guard. See, I just don't think he's good enough on the ball. I don't think he's a good enough ball handler. I don't think he's a great ball handler. I think he can make flashy passes. I don't know if I want him being the maestro of my offense. I really don't love Amin doing it either, but I think Amin's better than Reed.
Yeah, I think I agree. He has a great coach. Does that coach believe in him? Like, just because you do. I mean, we saw Reed constantly getting sent down to the G League last year to not really getting a shot to crack the rotation. Talking about this year without Fred VanVleet, Reed didn't really help out last year when Fred was out.
No.
Like, he didn't become an impact player for the Houston Rockets as a rookie. And that was when it happened in the moment. We all talked about it. Like, this is Reed's opportunity to show what he can do as the number 3 overall pick in the draft. And he wasn't on a factor at all. Aaron Holiday was more of a factor for the Houston Rockets. So, last year, rookie year, get it. But he has to earn trust quickly for Ime Udoka.
I'm willing to bet quite a bit of money that, assuming they don't get hurt, I'm willing to bet quite a bit of money that Amin Thompson is going to handle point guard duties 2-1 versus Reed Shepherd. Minimum.
Agreed. I mean, Ime's a great coach, but Ime's not going to make Reed Shepherd physically bigger and stronger. Yeah, and that was part of the problem. Like, we saw that when they tried to, I think it was game 2 against the Warriors, where they tried to throw in all the subs at the end of the game because they were winning by like 30, and they had to bring the starters back in because Reed was getting bullied when they put him on the point.
Yeah, he'll struggle a little bit of pressure with a good athlete and good size defending him. I agree. I mean, we'll see how it plays out. Another junkie on the text line, Alpi, learning to shoot threes is crucial. His game is predicated on being a big that beats other bigs off the dribble. Not really. He's got a good low post game. Goes that little lefty hook sometimes with righty hook.
Yeah, he can do that from the corner of the free throw line.
Yeah. He has to shoot better. See, I'll say he has to shoot better in terms of him having to take the next step up as a player. I think you can win with Alpi Şengün being who Alpi Şengün is. But for him to become like a top 3 center in the game, then I would agree that he needs to add that shot. But I don't think that's imperative for the Rockets finding a lot of success.
Mm-hmm.
At least in my opinion.
No, I agree with you. You talk about the growth of a man. If Alpi developed that kind of shot, I mean, you're talking about top 10 player in the NBA?
Yeah.
Potentially? I mean, and same thing for Amin Thompson, if you can develop on the outside like that. But I think what Alpi gives you offensively is plenty, honestly. Like, he can give you more.
Yeah.
The finishing can be better. But the passing is so good that you can do a lot without him having to be a great shooter on a daily basis.
Would you rather him be 10% better from inside the paint or 7% better behind the three-point line?
The paint.
What if I said 10% in the paint, 10% behind the three-point line?
Paint.
See, I still go paint.
Like, so it goes to 33% from the three-point line? He's not going to be living out there.
Yeah.
He's taking less than 2 shots per game. Like, the most, I think the most in his career was 1.8 threes per game.
Yeah, I'm there too.
That's not going to, like, even if he could shoot 33%, is he going to jump to taking 4 or 5 threes per game and also be that efficient? That's a big ask. You're talking about, like,
that's a big what?
A big ask.
Oh, is that a thing in Turkey?
It's
what did I say?
It didn't sound like you said ask.
You said ask.
Well, you just said it quickly, and the K wasn't fully pronounced.
I'm messing with you. You said it right.
No, it's a.
It was close.
It's a Chicago thing too.
The K's, you guys are into that?
They kind of get missed. The K's.
Being able to roll to the hoop or flare out behind the line is crucial. Timberson better in the paint for sure. See, I don't think he has to flare out all the way behind the three-point line, though. I think he can flare out to 13, 15 feet, and it's still effective. It's not as effective as being a, you know, a good three-point shooter, but you can still get by with that. You don't have to shoot threes. Like, we think you do, like, nowadays in the NBA. And, yes, it is more beneficial, but it's not, like, a requirement in order for your five to shoot threes on a championship-winning team. Why not Durant as point guard? I think you'll see Durant every now and then bring it up. I think Alpi's going to bring it up the floor every now and then.
I agree.
Not often, but every now and then. He did it in the preseason, like two or three possessions. It's going to be very fluid. It's not going to be a true point guard by any stretch of the imagination. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Derek, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Derek?
Hey, guys. How you doing, man? Hey, like the show, man. Hey, I moved to San Antonio, man. I know I keep an eye on my Rockets, man. That's my love. I had to move to that town across town, sorry. Anyway, I think the Rockets are in good shape, man. I think they'll be all right with Kevin Durant because he's going to give baby Hitler some confidence. So I think Shep's going to be okay.
Who?
Who did you
baby
say?
Baby Hitler with that mustache.
Who?
Reed Shepard?
Who are you calling?
He's talking about Reed Shepard.
Jeez,
yeah,
Derek.
With the mustache, Mr. Baby.
Derek, you stay in San Antonio.
Right. Wow.
You're not welcome in our city again.
Junkie of the day?
I call him Baby Hitler.
Hey, I'm a Houstonian, man. I just moved there, and I'm sorry, man. But
why'd you call
him? I had
to do
it for a job. But
why'd you call Reed Shepard that?
Oh, no, his little mustache. That's what I'm saying. He's a great guy.
Baby, Joe's got a little mustache.
Like Baby Hitler with that mustache.
That's enough.
I wasn't trying to do that.
AJ.
We'll see you, Derek.
AJ.
We'll see. What in the world? A junkie of the day, early leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah, no, I think that's the winner. No one's going to top that in the last.
I mean, like, what just happened?
47 minutes.
Oh, my
I mean,
goodness,
I wasn't sure if this we could play David Ortiz calling the Yankees pitcher that.
Oh, yeah. Schlittler?
Yeah. But then he said this.
Good job on that, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it at all.
I wouldn't attempt it, no.
I'm a professional.
You have experience with that with the Dynamo games.
That guy's name was.
I know.
Something else.
I don't even know if you could say it on air.
Well,
you did, but.
It was SCH Litz.
Yeah.
No, there was no L. There was no L.
Well, it was even and then that,
it was
right?
Even SCHITZ.
Yeah, there was no L.
Yeah. Yeah. Pains me to say I trust Jeremy's takes on basketball, never baseball, though. LOL. Well, sheesh.
Well, you're the voice
nice.
Of the coach.
Davidson is their best point guard option, but he probably won't make the team, Ocho. Yeah, he didn't get any run in the dress rehearsal the other day until the fourth. I mean, he'll be in Rio Grande. He'll sign him to a two-way. I think we'll see him a little bit, though, on the big club. I wouldn't want Şengün to develop a consistent jumper just to fall in love with it like Rasheed Wallace did in Portland. That's a fair point. Like his bread and butter is the post, man. Like, on the block. Why are listeners called junkies? You know why. You know why, junkie. The last caller just made the list.
I mean,
yeah, probably junkie of the day.
Is the list.
He's giggling about it, too. I didn't know who he was calling that at first.
I wasn't sure if it was Reed or Joe at first.
I didn't know who he was talking
about. No, because
about.
Reed doesn't have Reed's mustache isn't
Reed's
great.
Mustache is not that small. It's
no,
not,
but it's not very filled in.
It's thin? Like
he
air?
Looks like he's 13 still.
Yeah, but to me, to be that mustache, it's got to be. It's more about the width than it is how thin or thick it is.
Correct.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a bad comp. Bad comp.
Yeah, very.
I mean, has there ever been a good comp
no,
there?
No.
All right, 713-780-3776. What Joe thinks has to happen for the Texans to have any chance on Monday. And who's that coach that Joe wants to bring in? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe live from Saltgrass Gulfgate Center on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Now back to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Saltgrass Steakhouse and Gulfgate Center.
it's funny, 5010.
Very funny.
Not reading that.
Nope.
713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, Saltgrass, Gulfgate. It's packed at this bar, man.
Yeah?
Everybody's here. This is a great spot.
And if it's going to rain, why leave? Just hang out.
That's a great idea. I mean, you might as well. A lot of people out here at the bar. It's a great spot. They do their lunch specials are all day. I mean, they go into dinner time for some.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Really, really good. Food here is fantastic. Love a little Saltgrass. So they have great drinks, too.
Yep, tequila soda.
Cold drinks. 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line. 713-780-3776. So if the Texans are going to win on Monday night, we're still a long way from that game.
I know. It's so far.
Got all of tomorrow, all of Saturday, all of Sunday, and then all of Monday.
Yep.
But if the Texans are going to win on Monday night, what has to happen for Joe?
I think Derek Stingley's got to follow JSN. And I like Kamari Lassiter. But we've seen in the past, DeMeco he's been kind of a mixed bag with this. Sometimes they follow everyone, sometimes they don't.
They've done it in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like he followed Cooper a couple years ago in the playoffs.
After they got burned by Cooper for not following him in the playoffs.
But they didn't follow JJ, Justin Jefferson, last year at all times.
I think you're right.
I think it turned into that throughout the game. But early on, it was a split assignment. And obviously that game got out of hand.
And they play a lot of zone.
Yeah. But Stingley, as much as possible, I would rather just always be on the Justin Jefferson side and you just figure it out from there. Now, Kamari Lassiter, again, he's very good. But Jackson Smith and Jigba he's top three in the NFL still, I think it is, in receiving yards.
I think it might be one.
Is he up to one now?
I think he's one. Yeah, I think Jeremy's right.
Jeez.
Get used to that, Joe.
Jeremy's right? I mean, you said it a lot
so far. I always agree with Jeremy. That's the thing here.
Yeah, I know. Except for when we do segment ideas, then we win. Then we're together. But Stingley's got to be on him at all times. You can't allow JSN to have that success. Because if you look at their last game, for example, versus the Jags, his next highest guy with targets was 3 targets to A.J. Barner and 3 targets to Cooper Kupp. So you have to eliminate as much of the JSN threat as humanly possible. That's where the ball wants to go at all times. And to me, that also means if you're going to get opportunity, potentially. Like, if he's going to try to force the ball to JSN, Derek Stingley Jr. can have a chance to bring that ball back.
Darnold's a little bit of a gunslinger, too. You can get a couple on Darnold. He'll throw the ball. He'll challenge you, throw the ball into traffic. He's also got that kind of three-quarter slot where you can bat some balls at the line, too. Maybe get a tip and, interception off a deflection. I don't disagree with you. I'm with you. I like traveling my best corner with the other team's best receiver. But I'll play the devil advocate here a little bit. Stingley is not his best right now. Maybe the bye week, though, gets him closer to that. I think he's been playing hurt all year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's very clear he's been playing hurt all year. He's nowhere near the level that he was last year, and I think it's 100% because of the oblique injury. I mean, you see dudes who have oblique injuries that miss 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You see guys miss months in baseball with oblique injuries. And, football is contact. I understand the torque of swinging a bat and all that stuff. But I think that this is an injury that you probably should miss a couple of weeks with. And remember, he re-aggravated it on the road early in the year. Was it Jacksonville? I think it was Jacksonville. He re-aggravated it, midway through the second quarter, maybe even late first quarter, and he didn't play the rest of the game.
Yeah.
So I think – and he injured that in week one.
Mm-hmm.
So he injured it in week one, re-aggravated in week three where it cost him 3 quarters of the football game, and hasn't missed a game. So I think that Stingley's very clearly playing through injury. Maybe this bye week gets him closer to 100%. I saw that he was able enough to ask for his girlfriend's hand in marriage.
Yes.
Congratulations to Derek
Stingley.
He was
at practice today.
Stingley. He was at practice today, which I think is a good sign
because
he hadn't been practicing. He's been playing the last 2 games without practicing. So I think he's closer to 100%. How much closer, we'll see. But, that's one thing I want to throw out there, where it's not 100% Stingley that we saw last year that was an all-pro traveling with the leading receiver in the NFL. Because the gap closes between Stingley and Lassiter if Stingley's playing hurt. The other thing that Kubiak is really good at doing, Clint Kubiak almost called him Gary, he's really good at moving JSN around to a bunch of different spots on that offense. He'll be lined up out wide sometimes. They'll put him in the slot sometimes. They'll move him in motion sometimes and make it difficult to really mark. So that's another area where Seattle's really good at, Kubiak's very good at being able to kind of disguise where he's at. And it's a little harder to man there, especially with the way that that DeMeco likes to play his defense.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in zone, you can't really follow him as much. It's more of a man coverage thing.
Yeah.
Like, now – I think the Texans can be very good in man coverage, both their corner, their main corners and their safeties as well. So it can work for you. But this is where, like, this is probably the only focus right now, I would imagine, is shutting them down. It's shutting down JSN, or at least slowing him down enough.
Yeah.
And it's a good time, too, coming off the bye week for a player that's this dynamic right now.
I'd rather get beat by their other guys than get beat by JSN.
Yes.
If Tony Horton beats me,
that's fine.
Tip my cap.
Same with Cooper Kupp.
If Cooper, a old man Kupp, that's inappropriate, Brandon. If he beats me, tip my cap. If Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker beat me, I tip my cap. If Sam Darnold slings it around 45 times and is throwing to 10 different receivers, I tip my cap. This is a week, I'm not going to say more than any other week, but it's up there with I don't want one single guy to beat me, and JSN's in that conversation.
100%. I mean, it reminds me a lot of the Vikings game last year. But, like, they did a good job for the most part against Jefferson, but it was Addison who went off.
Yeah.
There's also not that other guy, though.
No, like I was going to make a comparison to the Rams in week one because Puka, JSN, top-tier receivers. But the Rams got stinking Devontae Adams.
Yeah, there's nothing similar at all to that in Seattle. Like, they don't have, like, that next guy. Cooper Kupp, there's a reason why he's not with the Rams. He's not the player that he was 2 years ago. At this point, he can be okay, but he's not doing major, major damage against you. I will say, though, to one counterpoint, I would be annoyed if they let the run game get to them. They're not efficient.
No, they're
either
not great.
Kenneth Walker Charbonnet. Or Charbonnet.
And I mean, Charbonnet, Ken Walker, at least you think he could break one. Like, that wouldn't drive me crazy if Ken Walker had a big run.
Yeah,
if Charbonnet crushed him, though, that would drive me crazy.
Yeah, but
Charbonnet sounds more elegant, though.
Yeah, and he's gonna get more carries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For whatever
Did
reason.
You see the rumor on them today?
No.
That they could, if Miami makes Achane available, they would be in on him? They even said that Reek Woolen guy or Wooden, whatever his name is, the corner, that they would like use him in picks to try to get Achane.
Interesting. And he's healthy, or he's getting healthy. They're expected to practice today.
I think he's going to play.
They have three players in their secondary who have been hurt, the Seahawks do, and they all were expected to practice today. I don't know if they've practiced at this point yet. But
I saw jokes. Like, they're going to trade for Achane and still give Charbonnet more carries.
man, I hate that from a fantasy perspective.
People would riot if that happened.
So, Achane, Charbonnet, and Ken Walker?
Yeah, but that'd be funny. I agree with you, though. That's going to be – it's going to be a fun game within the game to see how the Texans counter JSN, who's a stud, who's very, very good. Who is this coach that you want the Texans to bring in, Joe?
Bill Callahan. Do it.
Okay.
He's been fired.
Yeah.
He's the only two coaches fired in Tennessee were Brian and Bill.
What's anti-nepotism? Because that's what that was.
Yeah.
he got let go because his son got let go as the head coach.
Which, like, kind of makes sense.
Oh, it makes total sense.
So, but Bill, you need, like, just bring someone. And we talked about this with even, like, Mike McDaniel. Like, would you bring him in as an offensive consultant in the offseason? Just, I don't know if you have any relationship with him. But you know what? He hates the Titans.
I think I disagree.
Why?
I don't love bringing in coaches in the middle of the season. I don't love a lot of cooks in the kitchen. I also think it undermines
your
offense.
But your cook is Cole Popovich.
Yeah, but he's been, like, they've been better. They've improved.
Yeah.
They've improved. They've shown, like, some progress. I think it's a bad look. Well, I don't even care if it's a bad look. Like, if it helped you, it helped you. But I think you start to get too many voices in the room. I think that was an issue last year with their offensive line. You have seen progress, so you kind of undermine the coach that you turned to, that you trusted, when he had every coach, you know, under the sun to hire from. I'm not a fan of that.
I don't think it would be an issue. Like, it's an offensive line coach. You bring in a veteran voice just to help anymore. Just help a little bit.
What if he has a completely different coverage scheme?
Well, that's a different conversation. Because we don't know that. Like, if you
know,
like, you have to, like, make sure, like, it's going to be a fit, right? Like, if it's a fit, it makes sense.
If this was after week three, I'm with you.
But you think it's looked good enough the last 2 weeks to where you're not?
Well, I wouldn't say it's looked good enough after 2 weeks where I've changed my opinion too much on where they were after 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But I don't like to rock the cradle when you have momentum.
Sure.
And I understand it's minimum momentum, alliteration, baby. I understand it's minimum because you did it for two quarters against Tennessee. You did it against a depleted Ravens team. I don't want to overrate the momentum because it's minimal momentum, but I think this is something that you would do whenever things are trending down.
Yeah, that makes sense. Or maybe even next year, like, if you wanted to make a change,
or like, if you get score 3 points against Seattle and then you score 10 points against San Francisco, then I'm willing to entertain it again.
Even though I'm not sure an offensive line coach helps you that much if you're only scoring 3 and 10 points.
Well, I don't know, man. Like, I mean, obviously you have to have protection in order to be able to throw the ball, run the ball. But another thing on Seattle is they love to stunt. So it'll be a good litmus test for the offense. It'll be a good litmus test for the offensive line.
And that's something that they obviously struggled with mightily last year.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's going to be interesting because I feel like we haven't seen a ton of that against the Texans so far this year.
There's been a few, but they've actually done pretty good against
them. But not as severe as last year. Well, last year was such an open book on the Texans that they can't stop it. That's all they would ever
run. I mean, the Texans have had some gaffes this year.
Yep.
I mean, Jeffrey Simmons in 2 seconds, like Tytus Howard.
The one last week or the last
four
game.
Guys blocking one and you let a free rusher, like it's right in front of you. But the gaffes usually haven't been stunts. It's usually been a communication thing.
Well, that's something that's important to see. Look for this weekend. Like, they have 2 weeks in a row with very bad communication issues up front where C.J. Stroud's getting hit immediately. That's something that, in theory, coming out of a bye week, should no longer happen.
Yeah.
That should be removed from the – that should not be an issue the rest of the season because whatever it was, the communication problems that were breaking down, whether it was with Woody Marks or Ed Ingram or C.J. Stroud or Andrews, whoever it is, like, that should be gone now. That shouldn't happen again this year.
No, I agree with you. I was watching the quarterback school on C.J. Stroud. He did one on the Baltimore game. I didn't realize he did it. He posted it 6 days ago, and I didn't get around to watching it until today. I didn't realize he posted it until yesterday. But I watched it this morning, and I'm always interested in what he has to say about schemes. Like, he does a really good job breaking down quarterbacks. Obviously, it's what he does. But he's always insightful about, like, offensive coordinators and schemes, and, like, if they're drawing up good stuff. And it was pretty interesting because, like, he started off with a couple of plays. Like, this is schemed up really nice. Like, remember that 3rd-and-1 in the red zone where C.J. Stroud threw like a hand grenade to Dalton Schultz for the first down. He's like, oh, great scheme. You're sitting him in motion, but you're snapping the ball before Schultz crosses the center. That confuses defenses. And it's like, oh, okay, great. I'm not giving him enough credit. And then like he did 3 other plays like in the second half. And he's like, this is amateurish. And I'm like, uh-oh. So it seems like quarterback school, I don't even remember his name, something O'Brien, isn't it? I think it might be O'Brien or Brian. I think it is O'Brien. Something O'Brien. But I don't remember his first name. But anyways, like I think he's very good with offensive scheme. And after watching that, I actually felt worse about Kaylee than I did before. Yeah. Because he's like, this is like easy stuff, and they're doing a terrible job. Like, they're not giving Stroud easy plays. They're not giving him the easy button.
Sure.
I don't like this hot route being over here. I don't like how he's not looking at the hot. Like, I left the Baltimore game like, oh, okay, the offense gave us hope. Still not completely sold on them, but they gave us hope. And then it's like this guy who knows way more about offensive scheme than
He hates a lot of it.
He hates half of it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay.
But that's where having a rookie play caller, it can get better.
Sure.
So maybe, you know, it goes to maybe next one, he'll only hate 40%.
Yeah.
And 30%.
Yeah, but it was an interesting watch. Not even from a Stroud point of view, because that's like his MO. That's what he's doing. He's talking about quarterback play.
Yeah.
But I always like kind of the peripheral points about the play calling and the scheme. Rhea Ripley's on TV. All right, 713-780-3776. Willibits.
Not cool.
You never know what you're going to get, but it's coming up next. Willibits with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from Saltgrass Golf Gate Center on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back with Jeremy and Joe, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great food debate? Jeremy being a giant buzzkill? Joe trying to do math? Carry the one, Joe. Carry the one. Or maybe they'll recklessly label people as casuals. Let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this? What an enormous bit.
Will a bit. You never know what you're going to get. Just know it's going to be gold. Radio mediocrity. You also never know whenever Jeremy and Joe are going to give away tickets. We're going to give away tickets a little bit later, but we're not going to tell you when. Real quick about the Rockets. They are sitting tonight.
Uh-huh.
Amin Thompson,
okay.
Kevin Durant, Jabari Smith, Tari Eason, Steven Adams, Alpi Shingun, Clint Capella.
So, okay. Everybody?
Everybody but Reed Sheppard.
Everybody including the third best center in the entire NBA?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually a point for hyperbolic Holland.
Yeah, that Clint's sitting and Baby H is playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Point Hollins.
So, Reed Sheppard the only one, which maybe Reed Sheppard's not going to start.
I mean,
isn't that a way the coach is telling you without telling you?
Today, specifically,
yeah.
With this not available, yes.
So that's what seven of your seven of your men in your rotation. Yep, I'm trying to get there. That's seven guys on your roster. So who's playing? Who's in the rotation that's going to play tonight? Reed.
I mean, how big do you think the rotation is?
Tim in the regular season, 10.
Dorian Finney-Smith's going to be there, but he's not yet because he's hurt. Maybe Okogie's going to like play a few minutes.
Yep.
But he's not like a main rotation guy. I mean, I think that's your rotation. I think it's a
this
men.
Is the group.
I think it's the seven guys that are out today and Reed.
And maybe Holiday.
I don't know, man. Holiday was playing garbage time in the dress rehearsal the other day. Like, he'll get a few minutes, but, like, not a main rotation piece. Like, your top eight guys are these seven plus Reed, who is not sitting today.
He's got to earn his minutes. Earn, not given.
So. Yeah, interesting. Now, will you watch this tomorrow?
Absolutely not.
See, I might watch it to see if Ryan says anything hyperbolic.
It feels like a lot to sit through just to get
do
one
you have anything? But do you have anything else you could be doing? Like, so that way you're not watching.
Well, I might just I might turn it on. I never watch TV whenever I'm prepping.
Okay.
Because I like because I'm an ADHD and I get distracted. It distracts me and I won't get any work done.
Yeah, but if you're prepping and you're listening for Hyperbolic Hollins,
I don't think I'll hear anything.
Yeah, or you won't do any prep. You'll only be listening.
Maybe I'll listen. Maybe I'll
do some laundry.
Maybe I'll listen to it on the way to work tomorrow.
Okay.
While you're eating your soup.
No, I don't eat soup every day, Brian.
It's a lot to get to.
I think I'll listen to it as I drive to work tomorrow.
So you're going to drive, listen, eat all
I don't know if I'll eat tomorrow.
Well, you have a short drive tomorrow.
I do. It's shorter. So I won't have as much time to listen to Hyperbolic Hollins.
Yeah,
so
that's going to be a problem.
I know.
I could listen. It's going to take me an hour.
Take you an hour? Oh, to drive.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, League City Dumble for sure.
Yeah.
I'll see. Maybe I'll turn it on a little bit tonight after we're done watching our shows, our stories.
Love Island?
That's not out yet. I don't watch Love Island. I'm trying to think if we watched anything last night. Oh, we got Current with Dancing with the Stars.
Oh.
Mm.
Yeah, I hate watching
Topanga's
that show.
On it. I saw
she
that.
She is. Yeah. So is Andy Richter. You know what annoyed me about Dancing with the Stars yesterday?
Sure.
Go completely off topic. They didn't eliminate anybody at the end of the show.
I hate when competitions do. Everyone's safe this week.
Yeah.
What did I watch for the last 45 minutes?
And they teased it going to break. They're like, see which one's coming back. And then they bring it back and they have everybody like, you know, in a dark ballroom. And they're like, which one is going to be, who's our first couple safe today? Pause, dramatic pause. Everybody.
I was so mad.
I hate that. Bad TV.
All competition shows seem to do that. Like, well, there's one episode per season where everyone's safe. I hate it.
Yep.
This is the first time I've ever watched Dancing with the Stars.
Going to be the last?
Probably. I'm not a big fan.
Is it your wife's first time watching it?
No, she watches, like, select seasons depending on the cast.
Okay.
So if she likes the cast, she'll watch it.
Gotcha.
And she liked this year's cast for reasons beyond me.
Big Andy Richter fan?
But the only time, yeah, she does like Andy Richter, which I like Andy Richter. I liked Andy Richter whenever he was on Conan late night.
Sure.
Who?
Not late night.
You said Conan.
Conan the Barbarian.
Conan.
Conan the Barbarian.
Conan O'Brien.
But I won't choose to watch it unless I have work to do.
Okay.
So the only time that we watch it, and she actually didn't watch last week with me. She watched it alone. Jerk.
But really? You that broken up about it?
No. Well, last week was the Disney episode, Brian.
Learning new things about you every day.
So I had work to do last night. I was doing work while we watched it.
Okay.
I don't watch it unless I have work to do. Otherwise, we're watching real shows like Vanderpump Rules and Southern Charm.
Not getting better.
I'm just kidding. I did start Task, though, on your recommendation.
Good.
We watched one episode. We watched it Tuesday night. I'm invested. I'm in. I'm all in. I'm excited about the rest of the season.
I really enjoy it. It's a very good show.
Starting Five came out today.
What's that one?
The NBA one. It's got Kevin Durant, James Harden, Halliburton. I'm going to watch it. Give me hard pass.
Too much documentaries.
I like it. I like that stuff.
You've been saving that one on the document for like 6 weeks, Brian. Or however long the show is.
Oh, yeah. It was specifically about football, but you're right. There's like, too many of them.
Too many sports documentaries.
I am actually really looking forward to the Who Killed the Moncho Expos one.
Oh,
but that's fine.
Good.
But like, I really
there are exceptions, but
I haven't really enjoyed like the quarterback ones and stuff like that.
Oh, I like them all.
Yeah.
I'm a junkie.
I just haven't got into it.
I'm a junkie for sports documentary.
I just think they've watered it down. There's just too many of them.
I like them. I get a kick out of them all.
Well, once we got three different versions of Hard Knocks, it's like, come on, guys.
Yeah,
I'm a fan of them all.
Well, actually,
you watch all of them.
You guys work in sports, and you are poo-pooing on sports.
The only one that
you watch the in-season Hard Knocks.
Yeah,
do you?
I do.
I've never watched it.
Usually it's the show that we watch after we're done watching shows, and I usually fall asleep to it.
Oh, so you kind of watch
it. I watch probably.
That's not.
I feel like you defeated your own point.
Well, no, I will go back to the last point of memory. So I do consume it all.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if you're then picking it up, that's fine.
Yeah, it's like, you know, whenever you know you and your wife are done watching TV for the night, it's like, yeah. Oh, what show are we going to put on to fall asleep to? Hit the 30-minute timer. That's that part of the night.
Gotcha.
That's usually where I watch my NFL replays, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're watching all of them.
I need to watch a little Seattle. I haven't watched enough Seattle this year. I need to watch some Seattle. I've
heard they're underrated.
Most underrated team in the NFL, some would say. Some ball knowers would say. So I think I'm done with Bleacher Report. Buzzkill Brandon, we finally get to it. The Bleacher Report had like two trade rumors out earlier this week where the Rockets are trading for Jalen Brunson and Trae Young. Now, okay. None of these are rumors. These are just guys like, these
they're
trades
proposals.
Should happen. Click my article and look at the big names I have trading teams. I'm done with Bleacher Report. I am never quote tweeting, putting anything in the rundown, talking about anything Bleacher Report. I'm officially done with Bleacher Report because they had the Rockets trading for Jalen Brunson and Trae Young. I'm done. You're not getting any more of my attention.
Yeah, I mean, the Jalen Brunson one was a way to move Giannis to the Knicks, and the Rockets just giving up all their assets for help in helping make that happen but getting Jalen Brunson in return. I mean, I guess it's more likely. I'm more open to it, but I'm with you. Like, I don't need to see Trae Young rumors anymore. We've been seeing them for how long? They probably have 100 Trae Young rumors that they put out over the last, like, 4 years.
Yeah. I'm so over Bleacher Report.
I think it's taking. I think that website is taking a huge step down.
No doubt. I hate clickbaiting. I hate farming engagement. It's beneath me. I would never do any of that stuff. And I poo-poo anybody who does. You know who else does it that really annoys me? This guy might be up with Carl Ravitch with me, actually.
Ooh.
People in sports media that I despise.
He's that high on your list?
I don't hate anybody. I dislike.
Despise.
And look, Carl Ravitch might be a heck of a guy. He might be great. I don't like him on air.
Better
at
job.
All. And he's also pretentious, and he hates the Astros. He was banging the Astros back whenever the sign-stealing stuff came out.
On the right side of the RBI debate, though.
Well, yeah, there you go. Another that's not a feather in your cap. Carl Ravitch agrees with me as he calls a game-winning home run in the top of the ninth. I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah, Carl Ravitch, just don't like him on air. Also, everybody cheated in baseball, Carl Ravitch. The sooner you realize that, the smarter you'll be. But this guy's up there with Carl Ravitch for me. Mike Florio. Florio's Twitter rage baiting, engagement farming headlines on Pro Football Talk drive me crazy. They annoy the heck out of me. So whenever the Titans fired Callahan, he tweeted this. The Titans, and he's a fearmonger. Like any sort of lawsuit, oh, the NFL is going to roast for this. He's a fearmonger, this Mike Florio. He's fearmongering Mike. He had the Titans haven't named an interim yet. Internal options include Mike McCoy, or they could go outside the building for someone like Mike McCarthy or Eddie George, who's currently coaching at Bowling Green.
Yep.
What are you – this came from nowhere. He had no source. He had zero – no one told him Eddie George. So why did he put Eddie George just out there?
Because it's clickbait.
Because it's a big name.
Yeah.
And he wants people to argue with him.
And it was within like 30 – I think the timeline's like 30, 45 minutes within when the story broke. So it's like the Titans didn't immediately announce who their interim coach was going to be. Like, okay, if it was like Tuesday, maybe you throw this out there. Maybe they're going to go outside the building. But he just throws stuff out there to get people to read it. I've never been a big Florio guy.
He's fear-mongering Mike.
Yeah. The lawsuit one is perfect, where he's always just like pounding the table. If the NFL is screwed, the NFL is going to lose all of its money. The NFL is going to blah, blah, blah. John Gruden's going to get so much money. And then it never happens.
Never. He's a fearmonger.
That's why the Kerry McNair article, to me, is a giant nothing burger. Like, people try to make – he's trying to make this big deal about it.
I mean, he's got Busby, though.
He's got Busby.
I bet you he's looking for a settlement.
But, like, it's all Florio-driven. Like, he's the one who's, like, put it out there first. And, like, the way Florio writes it is that, like, the McNair family's done all these things wrong. And I'm like, that's how you kind of write about everything.
Yeah, he's a fearmonger. I'm going to point out all his fearmongering, too, because it's gross. It's nasty. Speaking of Busby, he started to pop up on my TikToks.
His podcast.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I've started seeing him. I see him on Facebook, but yeah.
So I guess he has an office at the top floor of the Chase Tower, which is pretty baller, I'm not going to lie. But do you see his obsession with sharks? Because I guess he's a shark. He's got, like, shark door handles.
Okay.
I've noticed he has a shark tattoo on his lower forearm.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
So he's turned his office into the aquarium?
I don't know if he has a physical shark, a live action shark. That'd be a hard way to get it up there to the top story.
Oh, they,
of the they
Chase
could
do Down. That.
Find a way.
I know, but I didn't see an aquarium. I didn't see an aquarium. But look for his obsession. If you see him on TikTok, because he's popping up all my TikTok suddenly, his obsessions with sharks is next level.
Yeah, it's a lot of Busby in my life. He got late into the podcast game.
Somebody must have come to him and be like, hey, we'll give you a few bucks.
I feel like he missed the boat. Like, wouldn't you have wanted to do it, like, during the Watson stuff?
Or right after it. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, now it's been a few years.
He's not really talking about his cases, though.
No.
So, like, I don't think you can do that.
I did watch a lengthy one of his videos. It was very long. It was about all the stuff that's happened with the Bayou. Like, all the bodies.
Oh, I saw
finding.
That, actually.
I was watching that one because I was like, it was like someone publicly just being like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Can someone help us with how, like, all these people are ending up here?
Yeah.
Like, is there a serial killer? And is
Do you have
only...
any theories?
No, not really. He was talking more from, like, the legal point of view and, like, what the mayor owes to his city.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. And, look, Busby's going to be well-argued with anything. Like, he could argue to you that it's not raining outside. And you would be like, yeah, that's a pretty good argument there, Tony. Tones, you might be right. Like, he's elite. He's an elite arguer. He's an elite litigator, you know? So he's... It's actually kind of fascinating, some of those TikToks. But his obsessions with sharks, I think, is unhealthy.
I think the shark doors is a lot.
It's
I get the tattoo.
It's also a flex.
Yes, because you know? Who knows how much that
like,
costs.
It's probably my gold-encrusted shark.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All right, 713-780-3776. Junkie of the day. Who is your junkie of the day? I have a pretty good idea who it could be. 713-780-3776. Who's your junkie of the day? It is Jeremy and Joe live from Saltgrass Gulf Gate Center on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Maybe you're a junkie for a new car. Maybe your car is a piece of junk and you need a new one. Well, you need to get out to Monument Chevrolet and get a new one or a pre-owned one. Monument Chevrolet's got it all. They got a huge inventory. And get on out there, 225 and Beltway 8, and check that thing out. Their inventory's massive. Their car lot's massive. They have road names on their car lot. It's so massive. But Monument Chevrolet is the dealer you can trust. That's what really matters. They're transparent with you. They're not going to hassle you with pricing. They're not going to upcharge you. Oh, extended warranty for 500,000 miles. That stuff doesn't happen in Monument Chevrolet. It's why they've been serving the Houston area for 50 years. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, pre-owned vehicles, and then they keep coming back because they trust the people in Monument Chevrolet. Family feel there. Friendly atmosphere. Hire great people, which leads to that fantastic culture. And because they like you, Monument Chevrolet's extended truck month. You can get 2.9% APR for 72 months. Truck month is the best month. Also, the vehicle of the week. How about the EVs? The EV vehicles. Right now, Monument Chevrolet offering amazing discounts on their EVs. Their EV Blazer, speedy and sporty style. The EV Equinox, spacious interior. It's clean, modern design, long-range capability, too. And both come with a loaded, tech-focused interior. Join the 21st century. Get a fair deal, a transparent deal, a no-hassle deal without wasting your time in those aggravating, stressful negotiations. No tricks, no time wasting, no upcharges, no hidden charges. If you've been waiting to upgrade your ride, now's the time to do it. Visit them online at monumentchevrolet.com. Check out their full inventory, monumentchevrolet.com. Or go visit them in person, 225 at Beltway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Saltgrass Steakhouse and Gulfgate Center. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
First person to call in right now, 713-780-3776, and tell us who the offensive coordinator for the Houston Cougars is. You're going to win a pair of tickets to see Houston and Arizona on Saturday. 713-780-3776. First caller to answer correctly, who is the Cougar offensive coordinator? You're going to Houston, Arizona on Saturday. Time to pack TDECU Stadium this Saturday. Houston football taking on the Arizona Wildcats for homecoming. Don't miss the pageantry, the pride, the roar of Cougar Nation. Kickoff at 11. This is Houston's team. Need you to create a true home field advantage. Come early, be loud, wear red. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS to get your tickets today. This junkie on the text line, I don't know what he's talking about. J-Bone, I love you. But you don't just engagement farm, but you also engagement ranch, and then go farm and ranch to table to an engagement restaurant.
You're farm to table with your engagement.
Yeah. You don't know social media.
You just do junkie. A lot of it.
Yeah. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't do any of that stuff. I don't know what he's talking about.
Throw this crap out here to get clicks.
I don't know what
a great man once said.
I don't know what he's talking about. Everything's engagement farming. Life is engagement farming. All right, 713-780-3776. Who's your junkie of the day? Thank you to Saltgrass for having us out today, Gulfgate Center. Any Saltgrass will do, though. The food was phenomenal. Got a little lunch special steak that really hit the spot. Great, great food. Appetizers are fantastic. Their ranch sauce, Brian called it sauce earlier, but it is phenomenal. It is very, very good. They have a full bar at our location. I think most of them do. So great happy hour spot, great get off work, go to it spot, fantastic, fantastic spot. Thank you for the hospitality, too, Sawgrass. We love you. Appreciate you. All right, junkie of the day, Joe, who you got?
I got two things to nominate today. Number one, I think there will be more people that walk through the Saltgrass Steakhouse today than were at the UTEP-Sam Houston game last night. My junkie of the day is the 671 people that were at Shell Energy last night for a college football game on a Wednesday.
It's very sad.
Why Wednesday? And honestly, I think they're lying. Have you seen the videos?
Yeah, I didn't.
I don't think there's 671 people there.
Take a guess.
I think they were counting both sidelines.
Yeah, so how many people are on a college football roster, you think? 100?
They're both traveling, so they probably have like 60.
Okay.
So 60 plus staff. Maybe we're looking upwards of 75, maybe 150 total.
So maybe like 470?
Yeah.
Ish.
Like actual
that
fans.
Bad, huh?
It looked real bad.
It looked real bad.
I feel bad, man. Like, why are they playing in Houston?
Did anyone know?
In Huntsville.
I had no idea.
I did. Yeah, they're doing reconstruction on their press box.
Gotcha.
They should have played.
Are they playing all their games?
All their home games are at the Shell Energy. They should have played at Huntsville High. They should have played at Wood Forest in the Woodlands.
That's crazy.
It's bad.
I also want to nominate everyone that freaked out about James Franklin's buyouts. For junkie of the day, and that said that buyouts were out of control, and they're going to get smaller.
No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, you want to know why?
Why?
Take a guess on Kurt Cignetti's buyout.
$75 million.
$93 million.
Does it de-escalate though?
It doesn't say.
I'm sure it does.
It just says.
Oh, yeah, it would have to.
It's got to de-escalate.
Like a signing bonus.
Yeah. It de-escalates. I'm sure by the year.
Yeah, it's $93 million full guarantee.
So if he took a job this year. Probably.
Yeah.
Next year it probably goes down like 75. Yeah. And 50 and et cetera, et cetera.
But it's only going up.
My junkie of the day, the Kansas football coaching staff for throwing a pocket knife on the sideline in Lubbock and then accusing the Lubbock Texas Tech fans for doing it. That's junkie behavior. And then Nakia Holmes, go Cougs. She used to play basketball at U of H. She's co-founder of the Turkey Leg Hut, which the Turkey Leg Hut needs a documentary whenever it's all said and done.
Yes.
She was arrested and charged with hindering the arrest of a man accused of aggravated kidnapping earlier. I think it was today, maybe yesterday. That's a felony. So this Turkey Leg... These Turkey Leg Hut co-founders, they have found themselves in a world of trouble.
Last one was what? They burned it down themselves,
yeah,
right?
That was the man that did that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Yikes. Whole arson. Yeah, what do
Not
you got?
Good.
What do you got,
I can't believe you guys didn't take this, but we had a caller drop Baby H on Reed Shepherd. So that's the winner, right?
Who was that again?
I forget. I'll also nominate quickly. He's not going to win. But Angry Julian for calling in and taking shots at Stroud's mobility, saying Sam Darnold could run faster.
I don't know if that deserves junkie of the day.
No, Baby H is winning. I'm just saying it's a nomination, a tip of the cap. I wasn't expecting that call today.
Yeah, Baby H is the winner.
The guy called from San Antonio to say that.
Derek,
okay.
Oil Derek from San Antonio calling in.
He's in the running for junkie of the year.
Called Baby H multiple times. Yeah. Multiple times. All right, what wins? Derek.
Derek,
obviously.
Oil Derek from
Congrats,
San Antonio.
Derek.
Baby H.
He was giggling when he said it.
Well, because at first I think he tried to like sneak it by us.
Maybe.
Yeah, we all kind of looked at each other like, "What? Can we hear
did
him?
He say that?
Did we hear that?"
I didn't know who he was saying it about. All right, Derek, you're the winner. You're our junkie of the day. That's it for us. Thanks to Age and Sean for tag teaming the production work. Brian for on-site engineering. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We'll talk to you tomorrow from Old Humble Distilling Company in Humble. Good night, everybody.
ESPN 97.5.